Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get back to your calls in a little bit here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hour number two on this Friday. We welcome in from The Athletic and the author, or do I have to say co-author of If These Walls Can Talk?
Co-author.
Say author.
I mean, I feel
I
like
didn't
I
write
could
anything.
Just say,
he wrote it all.
Oh, see, that was going to be my first question to Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Jeff, did Zoe write a single word in this book?
Zoe contributed in his very own special way that made the book as fun as it is.
That's right. Show up, collect a check. That's all.
Like, not a single word. How's the book tour been, by the way?
Did you do a signing yet, Jeff?
Have you guys been hitting the local Barnes and Nobles and
I did one, 2 days
and such?
Ago. Yeah.
So you guys aren't always together. They split you up.
Nah, we're going to do a big one coming up with my buddy Jeff Kinney. He writes Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
He has his own local guy.
He has his own bookstore in Plainville called Unlikely Story. Phenomenal coffee joint and bookstore. And he has an upstairs. He had Jerry Thornton in who did his book.
He's Chris in Plainville's neighbor.
Correct.
Yes.
And a great guy. Excellent. Great guy. But it's one of the best bookstores I've been to. Yeah.
Okay.
Right in Plainville, downtown Plainville.
There have been a number of Barnes & Nobles that have sold out of the book. And I
sold out the other night.
I think it was Jeff's mom that did it, but, you know, we'll see.
Do they have a Barnes & Noble at UMass?
No.
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 Let's just go to UMass.
But you know what? Considering how well it sells out of all of the other Barnes & Nobles, I mean, it probably sold out of the UMass bookstore, too. We're just playing the field.
I wonder if they even sell books anymore, is what I would wonder.
I would just go do it at the hangar. We'll do like a
I mean,
book
everybody has Amazon. Everyone just goes on Amazon and buys it.
Hello?
It's probably sold out of Amazon, too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right. Jess,
good.
We spent some time this morning talking about Tom Brady and dealing with pressure. And now you've got the Edelman injury that sort of factors into this as well. There's a bunch of different stats, depending on who you look at, which stat service you want to go by for passer rating against the blitz. But how do you assess the pressure issue on Tom Brady to this point?
I think it's a combination of everything. I mean, Brady's footwork last week wasn't great. The offensive line certainly didn't hold up consistently in front of him, especially with the revolving door tackle, because Brown was in and out, Cannon was in and out, Waddle was going from side to side. You had a backup right guard, although Karras played pretty well in that game. And then you've got the lack of a consistent trust factor because, you know, Edelman's a little dinged up. Gronk hasn't been out there. I think Vrabel swung a lot of his coverage or as much as realistically possible toward James White. I mean, that was a huge focal point for Vrabel throughout that entire week. And, you know, Josh Gordon, as great as he looks, it's still not – I mean, it's impossible to ask him to be consistently on the same page with Tom Brady. And I think Josh McDaniels has to help out Brady as well. I mean, it took way too long for them to integrate the screen game into their offense, which I couldn't really figure out because when you've got that much pressure in Tom Brady's face and you can see him with some of those duck and chucks, that, you know, you got to help him out. And, you know, the other side of it is, you know, where's Chris Hogan? Why aren't you drawing up the plays for Chris Hogan that you were able to come up with earlier in the season and for the previous 2 years? So there's a whole pile of stuff that I think they can do better to keep the pressure operating.
The Hogan stuff is interesting to me because, you know, they would move him around and kick him inside like going back to Jacksonville, but you didn't have Edelman in Jacksonville. It seems like Edelman is strictly pinned Hogan to the outside, and if he doesn't win, Brady's not really going to go there, you know? But I want to ask you about Gronkowski. I see him at different times. You do. You get locker room access. You're there. You're there for the media part of it. What's the change in attitude in the last 2 weeks? Because he seemed like he stormed out, pissed off 2 weeks ago, and he seems pretty chipper right now. What's the change in attitude?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be frustrated with the back. I mean, it's only natural when you've got the history that he has with 3 back surgeries, and then it pops up again. And, I mean, I told you guys a few weeks ago when the back first appeared on the injury report that Friday, he was walking around. He was stiff as a board, and you could just tell right away something wasn't right. So you got that combined with the ankle, combined with not producing to the level that he expects to, combined to with, you know, fighting for, what was it, 4 months to iron out the final details of that that restructured contract and now realizing that there's a high unlikelihood that he's going to go out and earn all that money that he fought tooth and nail to lock down. So I think that, talking about a combination with Brady, I mean, that's sort of seeping in with Gronkowski, too, with a totally different combination of factors. But, you know, I think him last week kind of laughing, oh, it's a coach's decision. I mean, he probably realizes he's closer. And the fact that they brought him on the trip says that they weren't overly concerned about having that back be on a flight a couple times in 24 hours, albeit in more comfortable seats than we're used to flying as, you know, common folk here. But the I think, you know, just knowing that this is a chance to rest him for an extra few days and to see if they can test it out and get him full go the final 6 weeks, you know, plus of the season.
All right, we're talking with Jeff Howe, The Athletic. And yesterday, Jeff, you had a story about yourself on The Athletic for the first time. I don't think that's ever happened before, has it?
No, that was weird.
So to sort of sum it up, Jeff, over the last month or so, had a cancer scare is what you had and dealt with over the last month. And you wrote about this, and I would just like for you to explain to people why it is you wrote about it, why you felt it was important to write about it, and what it is, you know, sort of the message that you're sharing with people today.
Yeah. So, you know, yesterday I thought right off the jump, it was important for me to put out a tweet just to explain, you know, sort of a change in behavior that I knew that I had. And kind of since putting that out, I've heard from people close to me who were like, yeah, you know, the last couple of weeks, I was sort of wondering what was going on with you. I just wanted to say, hey, you know what? I've been dealing with this stuff, and that's why you probably haven't seen the same me, you know, happy-go-lucky, joking around, corny stuff on Twitter that you're accustomed to seeing. And then I wanted to explain what I had been going through. And sort of when I get to that, you know, the tweet didn't cover it all, but I got a lot of questions, whether it was through texts or tweets or whatever, people saying, hey, how did you know to get checked out? Or how did you know to pursue this, you know, harder or whatever? And that's when I realized, you know what, I have a chance to answer some questions to some people who were, if not going through the same thing I was going through, something similar, or just another type of challenge in their lives. And I thought it was important to come out and address that. So a year ago, I felt a lump in my throat. I went to my doctor for a physical. I explained what was going on. They did a blood test just to test the thyroid levels, and the blood test came back negative. There were no red flags. But in September, I started to feel the lump a little bit more, and I knew that it was there and it wasn't going away, but this was like, all right, you know what? I don't think that this was properly checked out last year, and I really need to take matters into my own hands. So I went back to the doctor. I demanded just a more thorough diagnosis. I wanted to leave no stone unturned, basically. So that conversation led to an ultrasound. The ultrasound led to the revelation or the showing that there was a nodule plus some others, but you know the bigger one had some cancerous characteristics. Then that led to a meeting with an endocrinologist who did a biopsy on the nodule to test for cancer, because that's the only way you can find out if you have thyroid cancer. And that all sort of came to a head about a month ago. And you know, Mark, you were right there. You know, I was giving you the play-by-play as much as anybody. And that was a point right around the meeting with the endocrinologist that I started, you know, it was a darker time. And I was sort of struggling with it because I was holding a lot inside. And, you know, Mark, you, my UMass friends, and then, you know, some of my work friends down at Gillette, I just started to have to tell people, hey, this is what's going on. I'm dealing with this stuff. And it was like every single conversation I had, especially the one, you know, we're leaving that cookout up in New Hampshire about a month ago. I was talking to Caitlin, and I was like, you know, that made me feel a whole lot better, just kind of getting it off my chest. Now I have a few more people who understand what I'm going through. So it was therapeutic, and I thought it was important to put that side of it out there as well. Like, you can't go through this stuff bottled up, and that's not going to do you any good. So kind of going back to the biopsy, there was a point about 4 or 5 days after the biopsy, it was on Halloween, when my doctor called me and said that there was a cell that came back that had some characteristics of medullary thyroid cancer, which surely is not the one that you want to have. So I had to leave. I had to go back, another blood test. And, you know, that led to the toughest stretch of this whole ordeal. Fast forward a couple of days, and that Friday night, I was like, all right, I kind of got to expand the support system a little bit more here. I got to talk it out. I got to let a few more people know what's going on. There was, at that point, an extremely high likelihood that I was going to have some type of thyroid cancer and, you know, potentially the real serious one. So, you know, I got through all that. That was an emotional roller coaster in every sense of the word for those 3 days. But I woke up Saturday morning, and I just kind of felt better. You know, I felt like talking about it helped me just be a little more positive. And I woke up that Saturday and felt a whole hell of a lot better about myself. And I was still in limbo, but for the first time in at least a week, I felt like I was at least in control of myself and my emotions. And the next day, Sunday, the day the Patriots played the Packers, the doctor called, told me that the medullary test came back negative. The following day, it was another test in the biopsy, although it was inconclusive, my chances of cancer had been reduced considerably. So, you know, I think the positivity, you know, I can't say it directly related to those conversations with the doctors, but it broke a serious string of one worse conversation than the next. And finally, on Wednesday night, I got the call, which was about a week or two earlier than I expected, that the final test from the biopsy, from the second opinion down in another lab, came back negative. And, you know, we're going to stay on top of this thing, but at this point, because I was so proactive about it in September, in the slight chance that this does turn into cancer in the near future, we're going to be so on top of it that we're going to be able to take care of it and remove it right away.
So to sum that up, you know, Jeff saying, make sure you check any small thing, no matter how small you think it might be. But also on top of that, tell your friends.
So you're going to tear it up this weekend then, right? That's what that means? Like, you're going to get after it.
You should. You should.
Why not? Why not?
And if you go to The Athletic right now, that story that Jeff wrote yesterday about this entire experience is unlocked. So anyone could go and read that story, regardless of whether or not you're a subscriber of The Athletic. I would suggest just subscribing. If you want to go to the Boston section of the site, it's theathletic.com/Boston is where you find that. Jeff, I am, as your friend, as your colleague, I am very happy that this is all worked out.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. You guys are both good friends of mine before your colleagues, so I appreciate the
support. And as a co-author, you know what I mean? Like being a co-author.
Bull crap.
All right, buddy.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for coming on.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Appreciate it. Jeff Howe, The Athletic. You can, again, read that story at theathletic.com. Roller coaster. Absolutely.
That's crazy. Long month, man.
Yes.
I didn't find out till Wednesday. You obviously knew prior, but wow.
Yeah. And then, you know what? If you tell your friends, they'll panic on your behalf and not tell you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Panicking. Like, hey, just relax. You know, don't get yourself worked up over something you don't have to get worked up about yet. Meanwhile, you're panicking just as much as they are. But make sure you go check that out. A good message in there. Check things out, but expand your support system, which is a big takeaway for Jeff over the last month. And, of course, now we can get back to focusing on covering the Patriots. Hashtag game pants.
Yeah.
We are back here in this noontime hour, 617-779-0985, with some of your phone calls. We are going to have, as I was saying, noontime hour. I meant to say Phil Perry is going to join us.
I was checking the clock.
Yeah, Phil Perry is going to join us coming up in the noontime hour. Read and React is coming up at 11:36. We got a lot to get to today. Don't go anywhere.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Oh, more than one today.
Yeah.
Really? Here we go.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I don't know about you, Hardy. This feels like a bit much.
Everywhere you know what?
It's not enough to beat the other station, beat them soundly. And they don't, that station doesn't go to Christmas until 5 o'clock today.
So we go to first. Magic. Ooh, magic this. Magic hands. Hey, I got extra bunting, so I got some mantle stuff. I'm going to bring it in, and we can put it right here at the base.
Is it bunting, or is it like garland?
Garland.
Yeah.
Not bunting. Bunting hangs. You're right.
Well, the garland can hang, too. It's just different.
My grandmother used to listen to Perry Como all the time.
Hey, I want to thank our listeners for the last couple of days, and more specifically, our callers.
Yeah, they've been so good.
They haven't called with the Sarge stuff.
I don't even know why you bring it up.
I'll tell you why I'm bringing it up.
Well, there's still 2.5 hours left in our show.
Because what did I say, what, Monday? Was it Monday, I believe, we talked about it? I said, don't call us with it. Call everybody else with it.
Right.
You know. And John in Vegas. John in Las Vegas. Nosh.
He's been crushing it.
Right?
Yeah.
He's done exactly that. He's gone elsewhere with it. He's not calling us anymore.
Where'd he go?
And people are not calling us, you know, this station anymore. They've taken the advice of bringing their stuff elsewhere.
This is beautiful.
And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I didn't hear the Hannity thing when TNR played it the other day. I went back and listened to their podcast.
Oh, Hannity was so
to hear it.
It's unbelievable.
So sorry. You know,
I was lost. I was dying. I was dying
Hannity,
laughing.
Hannity's like tearing up as he's talking.
It's so good.
Yes. Tell me more.
Oh man, he tells Hannity he's a fine American, and he's like, "Oh, I'm humbled by that."
Will Sarge ever work again? Oh, he sure will.
So
Christmas is coming.
This
baby.
Isn't even about Sarge anymore. I really, I mean, a little bit, but not really.
Well, it's a game now.
It's sort of just a game,
right.
And Sarge happens to be the guy who gets named,
really. Right. Oh, I agree with that 100%.
It started out of, you know, a couple of real calls of people crapping on Sarge back in July. And now I don't even think it's about that.
Yelling
anymore.
Baba Booey has nothing to do with Gary Delabate.
Right. It has nothing to do with him anymore. Right. It's moved on from that.
Right.
And so Jim is against us playing this. I want that, you know, he wants that on the record. Jim, who? Jim Louth, our producer.
Oh, shut up and play it.
Because I was having fun with it, and then you, Beatle, led the way, and we're like, no, we got to stop this. This is too much.
Yeah, we did need to stop it, and we did.
And we can continue to stop it.
I like it going other places, though. That's not my problem.
And then we're going to bring it back to here?
No. Why would we do that?
I want Ken and Lowell to call it a Sarge.
You don't think anybody's going to hear this and go, oh, all right.
No, because the game is now calling everybody else.
Right. If you could fool Brian the intern.
Except the Touch of Rich still get calls. They can't even take calls during their fantasy segment because of this is going on.
They got people called Dave Richard.
It's the only time during the week they take calls anyway, so how big of a loss is that? They don't do a lot of calls.
No, they barely take calls on that show. Very few calls.
We'll be fine.
I think we'll be okay doing this.
And
again,
we played sound from one other station one time, right?
Right. Whatever you do the rest of the day.
And Hardy commented on the compression, the microphone. Right. Just want to bring that up before we play the sound.
What do you mean, the compression?
What, that there's a lot of compression? That there's a lot of...
There's a lot of good microphones in this building.
Well, let me hear it.
Well, here it is. It's from one of our other stations in the building, WROR.
Oh, my guys. Is this Lauren and Wally?
Yeah, let's just play it. I'm not going to set it up other than you'll know what it is.
Okay.
All right, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing? You guys don't take, like, requests for songs, do you?
What would you like to hear? I'll see if we got it.
I'd like to request a song, and if possible, dedicated to one of my good friends, Mike Todd Riley.
Hey, what song you want?
How about Little River Band, Lonesome Loser? I love that song.
What's Mike's last name?
Sod, so it's Mike Sod Riley.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Take a look at yourself. Oh, my God. Where's Dennis Knutson, our chief engineer? I want you right now, Jim.
It's another good one.
I don't care who's in.
It's another good one.
Whether it's Mark, whether it's somebody else, whether it's Josh, get their ass up here. Why don't we sound like that?
Because
you good morning.
You don't have that voice.
He sounds good.
That's
He's
the
got
voice.
A great voice.
That's the voice.
That's got
no.
That's got nothing
what
to do with
calm.
I don't know. You ever turn on ORR in your car? It's boom, 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 boom.
So, Jim, you can't get a laugh out of hearing it on other people's stations? Like, now it's their issue.
Right, because we're sports.
And they're not badgering their each individual station.
I can't see Jim is even
smiling. We don't have time for this.
So
whatever you do.
He knows this one's funny.
Whatever you do.
It's one of those things, though. We didn't really plan it. We didn't really just kind of, somebody came in and told us about it. Let's do it right now.
Because it's like, it's been a busy week. It's the end of the week. It's Friday. Whatever you do the other 2.5 hours.
This guy doesn't enjoy a casual Friday even a little bit.
Do not call our show with the Mike Riley stuff, whatever you do, okay? Because we got an intern in here. I'll put anybody on air. So whatever you do, don't call us.
Okay, what song you want to hear?
Oh, my God.
What's Mike's last name there?
Oh, all right, good morning.
This part, I like this little gimmick, too, calling and requesting songs.
Well, good morning.
Well, it's just one thing if you just request a song, but he requested Lonesome Loser by the Little...
The song has to apply. What other songs could you...
Beck?
Oh, there's a bunch of songs you could use.
Beck, Loser?
Loser, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
So why?
You did right. Tom Petty? Even the Losers?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
What other?
All right. Thanks to Brian Bell.
Owner of a Lonely
Heart. For
bringing
this to our attention, by the way. For bringing this to our attention. Let's get in a couple of calls.
Come on, let's get creative. A
couple
of
calls before we go to Read and React. Jeff.
Aboard.
Okay. Call us back, Jeff. Mark in Maine. Mark.
Yeah, question. Why don't we see more of the hurry up offense to get things back on track with this team? And the second question is, what are the chances of going with 12 wins this season?
Okay. Hurry up offense, though, you can speak better to this, but I don't think that solves a lot of your issues. Keep your defense, keep the defense you're playing against on their toes, try and wear them out. But,
you know, what's interesting?
I don't think that's a fix for what the issues are.
Like, you go back to even, you know, the game in Chicago, the game in against Green Bay, what'd they do? They came out fast. They did some of that hurry up, and then they go away from it. I can't answer that. I think it's about, it could be a personnel thing. You know, you get out there and all of a sudden you get nickel. You really don't want to go hurry up and throw against nickel. That's
other
tough.
Question was, can they run the table and finish 13-3?
No, can you get to 12 wins?
Or 13? I thought he said 13.
He said 12.
Okay, my bad.
I got him at 12-4. I give him room for one hiccup. I don't know where the hiccup can be, but I think they're going to end the year at 12-4.
I think that they potentially have two losses left in our 11-5 team. 11-5, 12-4, but my feeling
the way
is
they've been
they
playing
might,
feels like 11-5.
It feels like they're going to drop two more here along the way.
Yeah,
they could win four of their last six. They finish 11-5.
They got to get out of their own way. They got to get going, or else they're going to be 11-5, 10-6.
And I reserve the right to change this all the time, which we always do.
God, you got four divisions.
I started out the year being like, 14-2 again. You know, like whatever. Yeah. 13-3, 14-2, like they always are.
Good. 12-4, 13-3 is phenomenal.
Yeah, but. We'll see. They got to prove themselves on the road. They haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
They need to do that. Coming up next, it's Read and React on a Friday. Stay tuned.
Nice.
What's Mike's last name?
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics take on the Raptors tonight at the TD Garden. It's an early one, 7 o'clock tip. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call on 105.7 WROR. 6:30 pregame tonight as the Celtics try and hand the Raptors a third straight loss. And
hey, what song you want to hear?
For the Green, they're trying to pick up their second win in a row for the first time in over 2 weeks. As for the Bruins, they're in Dallas to take on the Stars. That game will be right here on the Sports Hub. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers bring us the latest at 7:30. Maybe you have an update on Zdeno Chara, who flew back to Boston yesterday after suffering a lower body injury in the loss against the Colorado Avalanche. Last night, the NFL week began with the Seahawks beating the Packers 27-24. And Mookie Betts is your AL MVP. He became the first player in American League history to pick up an MVP, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, all in the same year that his team won the World Series.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
It's time to read.
Did you see Phil running away from the
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, it's Read and React, where we go around the NFL, get the latest stories from the week.
This is my favorite segment of the week.
All right, well, why don't you give it your all? Why don't you give it hell?
Okay there, Mr. I'm all in.
Make this Read and React your bitch, pitch, though. You ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Read.
Yeah. Whatever.
React.
Oh, Ken. All right.
What do you think he's doing for Thanksgiving? Hanging out, lol? Maybe going over to...
I don't know. Everybody's got plans. Yeah. Seahawks beat the Packers 27-24 Thursday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers post-game.
Is there any hope left for the season?
Come on.
Again, the question, is there any hope left for this season?
Hope.
No. Next question.
Come on, Ross. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I mean,
come on, man.
Can't win on the road. What are you going to be able to do?
Oh, I love that.
Ooh, that's a good follow-up.
Ooh. You know what, though? You should adjust that. Is there any hope left for your career, Aaron? Because you can't
win. I
don't
even know how to answer that, Rob. I mean, come on. What am I supposed to say? Of course there's hope. Of course we believe in each other. You know, it's just going to take one galvanizing moment. So whether that's a speech or a practice or something happens in the game, something's got to get this thing going.
Who's asking them this stuff?
They're not mathematically eliminated yet. If that
one of their beat
matters. I mean, they're 4-5-1.
Sounds like he knows the guy.
4-5-1. If they win out, they could finish 10-5-1. I don't think they're capable of reeling off six wins in a
Considering
row.
Considering how they played as of late, that's a pretty good question. Rodgers sort of a dick, man.
Oh. I bet that's Rob Domofsky.
You know what I mean? Remember when Rodgers came to the podium and said,
I mean, but he's right, though. What do you want him to say? You want him to say,
right.
Yeah, well, there's not. We're not a playoff team. Can't do that. You can't say that.
Brady would answer it differently. He's like, come on. Give me another question.
Brady wouldn't be asked that. Here? Oh, no way.
I like your angle, Jim.
Jim hates Rodgers.
Nobody would even have the balls to ask it.
No, they respect him too much. They don't respect Rodgers.
Why?
Sneaky good commentary today.
Why is that a disrespectful thing to ask?
I mean, Jim's right.
It's a real question about
is there
any, there's no hope left for that team.
All right, well, they're not going to the playoffs.
But asking a player to tell you that there is no hope left,
you know,
I mean,
the
they're just not going to do that. They can't do that. They'll look terrible for doing it. Even if it's the right thing, even if it's true.
All right, well, what do you want? We're supposed to be reading, reacting.
Trigger, Terry.
You're not reacting. We got to move.
Read. React.
Chiefs played the Rams Monday night. Patrick Mahomes has 31 touchdowns on the year. He's also a big fan of ketchup. I didn't know this about Pat Mahomes. So
who isn't?
Heinz ketchup offer Mahomes free ketchup for life if he throws how many touchdowns?
57.
Heinz 57.
You're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but that is my favorite. I put that stuff on everything. That stuff is so good.
Heinz 57.
Oh, what does that have to do with the number?
I totally forgot about the Heinz 57 sauce.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so fixated on ketchup. Like, we're going to give you the free ketchup. That's not ketchup.
But that's not ketchup.
Steak sauce.
Are there supposed to be 57 ingredients in Heinz ketchup?
No, it's...
They
it's,
put it on the bottle. It's engraved on the bottle.
Yeah, 57. It's 57 varieties of products that they make. But from what I've been told over the years...
I always thought it was about Mike Webster.
Family that worked for the company that, in, like, 1934 when they came up with this... They just sort of like adjusted the number of things they made because 57 was going to be like a good. They did studies like
those Twitter followers.
Like psychologically, 57 was going to be an appealing number.
69.
So they then made sure they had 57 things to offer in their like cookbook at the time. That's how it started.
All right. It's a little weird marketing wise because there is a separate product called Heinz 57.
Correct.
But
it originally comes from 57 different like items involving.
Right. 57 bread. All right. Yeah. Whatever. So, he talked about the offer this week. Here's what Mahomes had to say about his...
Yeah, go.
It's crazy. I mean, social media, it can blow anything up. And so, I'm a big ketchup fan. I've always been a little bit more when I was younger. But it is crazy how social media blows things up these days.
Would you like ketchup for life?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. So, I mean, if it happens and I get ketchup for life, I'll be sure to share it with some of the offensive linemen.
I would... Okay.
It's a hell of an item to get for life for free.
Is it?
I got three kids. Really? They go through a hell of a lot of ketchup.
What's your monthly ketchup bill?
I don't know.
You go
it's not a lot of money, but it's a great thing to have
you
at your
BJ's?
Disposal. Yeah, you get a three-pack. They come with three. Why not four? I don't know. I prefer round numbers. But they come with three, and it's all connected. These giant bottles of ketchup. That's where we buy it.
I love the summertime,
kids
too,
love
when
that
they have
crap.
The four-pack.
Put ketchup on
everything.
They get
everything. Them all, like mustard, ketchup, relish.
I think that's a bit of a waste. I think that's a scam.
It is.
I don't think it's that weird, but I put it on my macaroni and cheese. But people seem to think that's a weird thing. Some people think that's disgusting, but I mean, it's good to me.
No way, hard.
Not really. I do. I have Hunts. I do Heinz. I do it all. My favorite probably is the Whataburger ketchup. That's what Texas people would know that.
No, it's probably a little spicy.
I don't do Hunts. I am a Heinz guy.
I'll tell you what. I've been against Hunts too, and it's so much more tomato based.
Yeah, a little more vinegary,
a little more ketchupy.
I mean, a little more tomato. I'm looking for. But I appreciate the differences.
I'm a big Heinz guy.
That is my preferred
I like Heinz too. But if
you go to someone's house and they got Hunts, you know what I think?
Cheap,
you cheap bastard.
You know
what are you doing?
Yeah,
spend the extra 25 cents and get the real ketchup.
McDonald's has their own
ketchup.
Or
you know what's even worse? You know what's worse? Store brand ketchup. Now you're exposing yourself. Now you're just pathetic.
But here's the thing.
Zero respect
for
that.
If you go to a real nice restaurant and they have the house-made ketchup there, it's really good.
It is really good,
You don't miss Heinz when you get like a gourmet ketchup. You
I was
know
just
what I'm
going to tell you that.
Real tomato ketchup, Eddie?
I think a lot of those house-made ketchups are Heinz with extra ingredients mixed in.
We could do it.
Hate to break that to you. I don't think they're back there, you know, with the food processor putting the tomatoes in it to make
the
stop.
Can't
it.
Be that.
There's
tough.
A, get out of here.
There's a guy I used to know that had this restaurant, and he would keep the Heinz bottles, and he would have a cheap alternative ketchup.
And he'd fill Heinz bottles?
Fill up the Heinz bottles.
That's product fraud. That's fraud.
You could taste the
difference. Oh, yeah, I would know. Let's do a taste test. I will pass.
Oh, yeah. Here's what pisses me off.
Oh, my God. What?
The warm ketchup. Keep it cold. Like, if you serve it in one of those little metal tin containers on your plate.
I like that. I like
by the way, with hot fries. Oh,
I like room temperature ketchup.
I want it cold.
Ketchup goes great on macaroni and cheese.
It does.
What are you scoffing at?
I'd put it on anything. If you could put ketchup on eggs, why couldn't you put it on mac and cheese?
Because I don't put it on eggs.
Oh, I put hot sauce, ketchup. I would take the omelet, chop it up, mix it with everything, put ketchup all over it, and then put hot sauce all over it.
I will stand by my statement that ketchup is the only condiment that only goes on hot food.
Do we take calls during Read and React?
You're right.
I think I think we should take a call. Tom is in Braintree. Tom.
So there's a father tomato and a baby tomato. Oh,
no. Yeah? We're not doing this.
Yeah, we are.
No. Everybody knows it. And?
And he keeps lagging behind, and he steps on him, and he says, Sarge sucks.
Okay.
I need more.
I didn't see it coming.
Right, I need more Sarge.
Excellent.
I did not see it coming.
Reed. So I asked you the question, world.
All
right, stop right there real quick. So the NFL Players Association sends out texts every Friday to anybody who belongs to retired guys in the league. And they always send an inspirational quote. Well, they sent one today, and I thought it could be from Stedman Graham. The text reads, When you focus on problems, you'll have more problems.
Are you doing Morgan Freeman again?
When your focus is on possibilities, Andy, you'll have more opportunities.
You got that text from the league?
Yeah, right
from
there.
The Players Association?
The NFLPA texts you once a week?
They text me once a week.
I'm going to
inspire the
former
players.
I want someone to read this every week from now on.
Every Friday. We could do a Zoe segment on that text from the league.
I'm going to reply for you right now. Unsubscribe.
No, stop.
Don't do that.
Look at them all. That's crazy.
Don't do that. We need that. Text of the week for the NFLPA.
They're all inspirational quotes. If they send one from Stephen Graham ever, I'm going to lose it.
Saints play the Eagles. Sean Payton was still being asked about having to break a fire alarm. Oh, that's right. He broke the fire alarm in the locker room in Cincinnati last week because it kept going off and they couldn't get
the thing
to
smash it?
He smashed it.
I will confirm that I destroyed a fire alarm before the game. Destroyed would be a little bit sensationalist, but so clearly we were having issues with the fire alarm. 20 minutes, 30 minutes before we're supposed to be out. It had gone on for 10 minutes, and I just needed the noise to stop. It was just something that had gone on, and, you know, in order for us as we got ready for the game, I thought that was important. It was a huge story yesterday, though. It wasn't motivational, no.
That's so badass. It's such a football coach thing. Just, you know, I'm going to make that noise stop. Beat the hell out of it. Just punch it, kick it.
What do you...
Sounds like a mental patient. I just need the noise to stop.
I imagine those things metal. They can't be made out of plastic. Fire alarm.
I've seen them like industrial ones in an office. I bet they're like a hard plastic.
That went up there on the wall. Like, how would you break that?
You need it. Like something to break it with.
Yeah,
I'd break it.
What would you have at your disposal?
I don't know.
Big time bats. They send bats all the time.
BigTimeBats.com. Get the World Series bat. Even get the facsimile signature of MVP Steve Pierce.
In an NFL locker room, you're going to have a big time bat?
I don't know. We got bats around here. We don't play baseball here.
Maybe take a helmet.
We got a bat down in the office. Do we not have a bat in the office?
Yeah.
That's true.
Reed.
What?
React.
Ravens play the Bengals on Sunday. John Harbaugh talking about his team. Here we go.
We'll write the story of the Ravens 2018 season by how we play in the next 7 weeks. And that's what our guys are juiced up for. All the other stuff is just fluff. It's just noise. It's just banter, you know? It's barroom talk. Turn on the TV, it's two guys talking in the bar, supposedly. Except it's all choreographed, you know? You take this side, I'll take that side. It's all...
Actually, that's not how it works at all, John. But okay, that's all right. No, he's...
You take this side, I'll take that side. It's all BS.
You
don't care.
You go to the other.
You know, we got to go play. Let's go play. Let's see who wins the game. You know, we're ready. Bring them in here. Get the Cincinnati Bengals in here as fast as we can. Let's go play the game. You know? Got a game Sunday. Got to go win it. You know, that's what matters. All the other stuff is good. I appreciate it. I was on a roll with the guys. You know, I was on a roll. What's the scene from Animal House? Remember? When the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Leave him alone. He's on a roll. I know the Germans didn't bomb Pearl Harbor, just for the record. For everybody out there, it's a movie scene, okay?
He's
morons.
I give him credit for that.
Good. I love it.
Every time we've ever used that on this station.
Yeah. So stupid.
When we used to have the text line, we used to get hundreds of texts. You idiot.
Right.
The Germans didn't bomb Pearl Harbor. Yeah, no kidding. It's a movie line.
Brian, you ever see it?
He's Animal never House? Seen it. He's never seen Animal House.
Unbelievable. Done with this kid.
But that was the line in the movie.
You gotta go watch it. Go home and watch it tonight.
John Harbaugh sounds like a good time, though, doesn't he? Hang out, party with that
I'd
guy.
I'd party with that dude.
Did they say it was over when the Germans bombed brothers. Pearl Harbor? Uh-huh. Let him go. He's on a roll. That's what it is. It's a movie line.
I gave my love a cherry.
1776.
React.
That would be from Hamilton, which Tom Brady loves so much. He's seen it three times.
Three times.
He had a large hat on. Is that what you said?
He had that hat on that he has.
Winter
on.
Hat.
You could see it tonight in All Access. Patriots All Access. He wears his hat, but he wears it on the top of his head like he's a Dr. Seuss character.
So you think he was blocking people's view?
It's like he has a this massive horn on his head that's covering that the hat's covering. I couldn't imagine sitting behind him.
Maybe
because,
he's a unicorn.
You know, he doesn't slouch in his seat like this. He doesn't do this. Brady, I am upright. I am here. You know,
yeah, he's 6'5" and wearing a hat perched on his head like that. At a,
it's rude.
Yeah, it is rude.
It is rude. I want my old quarterback back. What the hell are you doing here in the first place? Third time.
Get over it. So.
Jesus.
People love it.
Phil
really?
Perry.
1776.
Phil Perry will be with us coming up.
Walk out. I walked out of 42nd Street.
Why were you there in the first place?
Okay. Made me go. Okay. And I thought it was halftime and it was intermission.
Phil Perry will join us coming up at the top of the hour. Coming up next, we are giving away a $100 gift card to Stop and Shop. I think you want to be here to win that, so don't go anywhere.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, nothing. Hold on. I'm going to do this. Before you go on whatever random rant you're going to go on, let's take care of the business here, the things we promised. It's Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom. StopandShop.com. Don't forget, you got to call the contest line number. 617-931-0985 to win the gift card. Yes.
Saw this on Twitter today. It is a National Fast Food Day today.
Oh.
One item right now. Go. Did you have only take one item? What would be your pick of a fast food item that you could go through that drive through and grab right now? Yeah, one item to pick from. National Fast
Like for
food.
Life or just
for
right now?
No, just right
what
now.
What I want to eat?
Here's
like at the moment.
You'd swipe your card and get
I got
one
it.
Item.
Taco Bell Mexican pizza.
That's not mine.
That's just what I got a craving for right now.
That's
at this
not
moment.
What I would. You know what I go right for right now? I go for.
I take it back.
What?
Arby's beef and cheddar.
Nope.
You can't take it back.
Good. I'd eat that. I'd eat it though. No, because that's disgusting. The first thing you said.
It's
awful.
Not disgusting.
4-piece dark meal. Not Popeyes, but KFC.
That's like
original recipe.
That's like three things.
You can only get like one small item.
Okay, Big Mac. I'm a Big Mac guy.
Do you know what I would get? The fries from Wendy's.
Boy, they perfected call. The board cut.
Good call.
Sure boardwalk. Have.
Good call.
Should have done
boardwalk
a nice job fry, with that.
Do you know call. It's a dollar any size now at Wendy's?
Yep.
Again, like, give me the tiny, tiny small one. No.
Pair that. If we're going to add on to it, I'd pair that with some of their
chili.
Chicken nuggets because I think their chicken nuggets are pretty damn good.
Mm.
Mm.
Happy lunch.
Mm.
Mm. So it is National Fast Food Day. Have fun out there.
Thanks, so.
Lucky people out there in cars. right now listening to us, putting our order in. Just mute that. Hold on.
Are you hungry or something?
You just
Is that
ate.
What's going on?
I know.
Just finished.
I just popped up, but I could eat. I could pound a Big Mac. I could eat a Big Mac. Extra sauce.
Congratulations.
To old Pete Patty special sauce. Yeah, cheese, pound pickles, a Big onions, Mac. And a sesame
Great.
Seed bun.
Yeah. Mm. Be awesome.
Give out the address.
Nope. Not doing it.
55.
Never know when anybody Siegel puts Boulevard. Anything on those buns. They could get in there and touch the sandwich.
This was pre-Beetle on the midday show, but we got a bunch of filet of fish delivered one day, and Zoe was battling a stomach bug.
And he still ate it, didn't he?
And then
he still ate.
The bun was still
he ate four of them.
And got sick multiple times, and then would come back and refill the tank because he loves filet of fish so much.
So good.
It's like
tartar.
Your body is rejecting all food right now. You should say he couldn't even
sick.
Hold down water. But
he
he's
couldn't
like,
even stop.
Nah, I love him. I love him. Ah,
so good. And you just kept throwing up.
Yeah, yeah. You go in there, take a walk.
You should have gone home.
You know what? You go outside, you'd get a breath of fresh air. And then you go back in, you sit down, and eat
for 20 minutes, and then you would get
up. But the steamed bun, I don't know how they do it. I really don't. It's the bun. It's that sauce.
You just said it. They steam the bun.
Yeah, but but I'm saying you steam it. Normally, when you steam something, it's
cracked the code.
10 seconds.
There you go.
You had it.
Steam doesn't stay in.
And there it is.
There's something about the design of the bun that still harbors the steam.
It's like it's hot water, but it's not soggy. No, they do it.
They stick it in that thing, and next thing, it's still like soft steam bun when you get it. At 20 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
And the best thing is to eat it right away there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hot food. Hot food served hot. You're right. That's the other secret. The steam bun steam.
Cooking it is always
to steam the bun.
Yeah.
And eating the hot food hot.
It's another good thing about McDonald's. They have the pump ketchup, so they're not stingy with their ketchup. Like, some places you go and you say, hey, give me ketchup. They'll give you, here's one packet. Oh, you need two more? Sorry.
How often do you dine in fast food establishments?
Never. Okay. I used to when my kid was
little.
So it's
not an issue.
I can't remember the last time I did that.
Then you need a good Mickey D's with a good playground because we would spend hours there and just turn.
When was the last time you did that? You went in and sat down at a fast food restaurant.
My kid was four, about 5 years
ago. That doesn't feel like a thing people do anymore.
Coffee. I always see old guys drinking coffee at McDonald's.
I've done it with my kids probably in the last few months at some point. I don't know when.
Chick-fil-A? You got that new Chick-fil-A down by
here. We've done it at Chick-fil-A for sure.
Yeah, that one's sort of a unique thing.
Right, because they bring the food out.
No, there's also not one of those on every corner.
Classy joint.
It is. It's nice.
Wow. All right, Phil Perry is standing by, and he will be with us coming up in a mere 90 seconds after these headlines with Hardy. Get in here, Phil. Let's go. Right
Come on,
now.
Phil.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.